Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Megillah Daf Tes Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur starts three lines from the top. We should point out that we concluded our previous shiur with the story of Achashverosh, the beginning of Perek Vov of Megillas Esther, being aroused, suffering from insomnia, and it occurred to him that maybe his what was bothering him had been that Esther had invited Haman to the feast, and he was wondering why was he invited, and it occurred to him maybe there was a scheme, a plot to remove him, to remove Achashverosh, and he was deliberating in his mind, maybe, if that's to be, do I really have anything to worry about? Wouldn't my friends reveal to me their plotting? And on the other hand, though, maybe no one is going to play along, is going to help me out, because I'm the kind of person that when favors are done for them, I don't repay them. So people are hesitant to sharing with me any information that would be of help to me. And that caused him to bring out the royal diary, or we'll call it the royal chronicles, to review what might have been done for him that he did not reward. And he discovered, and if you look in the psukim of the Megillah, he read that Mordechai had been responsible for revealing the scheme of Bigson the Seresh to have the king poisoned. And regarding that, we continue now with our Gemara. The king had asked, well, what favor, what had been done? Had the man been rewarded? So he was told, Lo nase imoi davar. That's the third line from the top on Daf Tezayin. Pasuk Gimel in the Megillah of Perek Vav says that nothing was done for him. Omar Rava, Lo mipnei she'ohavim es Mordechai. The king was told this information not because they loved Mordechai, Elo mipnei she'soinin es Haman. It's because they hated Haman. Hechin lo. Now the pasuk says, here we're just reading two words of the pasuk, but the entire pasuk is pasuk dalid. At this very point, this is all part of the miracle, of course. Miracle is also very much an issue of timing. Just as this moment, Haman had appeared in the king's courtyard, and the pasuk says, we have this on the side of the Gemara, Vayomer Hamelech mi bechotzer, Vahaman bo lechatzar beis Hamelech, achitzon lemor lemelech litlois es Mordechai alo eitz asher heichinlo. Haman had appeared just at that moment to tell the king to have Mordechai hung from the tree that asher heichin lo, that, and here pronouns play a central role, that he had prepared for him. But because of the fact that you have pronouns here, there's a double meaning, and the Gemara continues, says Tana loy heichin, the tree that Haman had prepared really for himself. In other words, that eventually that tree that Haman had intended for Mordechai to be hanged from, that tree was the tree from which Haman was hung. And as the psukim go on, so the king says, "Vasei came to Mordechai after Haman gave his eitza of having the person that the king finds favor with to be rode around on his horse with royal garments, and he says, and I'll do so for Mordechai. Vasei came to Mordechai. Omar le, so Haman, who was now requested by the king to do this, he asks the king, Manu Mordechai, who is Mordechai? Omale, HaYehudi, Mordechai, the Jew. Omale, so Haman says, Tufa Mordechai, Ikob Yudah. There are a lot of Mordechais amongst the Jews. Omar Le, so Achashverosh says, HaYoshev B'Shar HaMelech. In other words, if you see, we're taking Pasuk Yud and breaking it down into its relevant phrases. Each phrase represents a response of Achashverosh to the questions that that Haman is asking. So when, after Haman says, well, there are a lot of Mordechais amongst the Jews, so the king answers, it's that Mordechai that's sitting HaYoshev B'Shar HaMelech. Omar Le, so Haman says, oh, that guy, Hahu Sakile Bechad Diskarto, it's enough for him to have to receive, let's say, one village, Inami Bechad Naro, or to collect the taxes from one river crossing. But what you're suggesting, that he should be ridden around with the royal garments on the royal horse, that's going too far. Amalei, so Achashverosh says, Honami Havle, oh, you're suggesting to give him the tax collected from a village or from a river crossing, give that to him also. Pasuk continues and says, Al tapel davar mikol asher dibarta, don't miss out on anything that you suggested. Vayika homon es halavush ves hasus. Now, as we go on in the Gemara, take note of the fact that we have a long marking. There's a maisa, an incident. And on the side, the Nosei Maise, we note Mifgash Haman and Mordechai, where Haman meets Mordechai, Kishebo Laharkiv Oisei Al Hasus Hamalchuti, when Haman comes to Mordechai to have him ride around on the royal horse. The Gemara, Ozal. So Haman goes, as per the order of the king, Ashkeche Diasvi Rabbanon Kamei. Haman finds Mordechai sitting together with the scholars, and Mordechai is demonstrating the laws of taking a handful of a meal offering as would be done in the Beis Hamikdash. Kevan dechazi Mordechai de apik lekiblei v'susei mecha biyodei, when Mordechai saw Haman coming in his direction and the horse held in his hand, in other words, the reins of the horse were held by Haman, Mirtas means that Mordechai became fear-struck. Omar Luhu L'Rabbonan, Mordechai said to the Rabbonan, Hai Rishiel Amikdal Nafshi Ka'asi, this wicked man is coming to kill me. Zilu Mikame, go from him, go away, Di Lo Siflu Begachaloso, so that you don't get burnt in his coals. In other words, it's dangerous to be around here. Pahi Shaito Nisatif Mordechai Vekomle Litzlus. At that moment, Mordechai cloaked himself and rose to pray. Also Haman Vyosev Le Kamayu. Haman came and sat in front of them. The Oirich Adisolik Mordechai Litzlus. And he waited until Mordechai finished his davening, his prayers. Haman asks them, "Bemayaski, so what are you involved with?" Amrulei, so the student said, "Bizman shebeis hamigdash kayom, when the Beis Hamigdash was extant, man demenadev mincha, one who would vow to bring a meal offering, maisi mole kumtse the sulta umiskaperle, who would bring a handful of the meal offering." In other words, a bowl of flour was brought and a handful was taken and placed on the altar, and he would receive atonement through that. The word miskaper is, we translate it literally as atonement, but it's a function of that which is placed on the altar. Sometimes it's actual atonement because of a sin, or sometimes it's a word used in the context of a sacrificial offering, even if it's a voluntary vow type offering. Omar Luhu, so Haman, upon hearing this, says, Osa moli kumtsa kimcha ditru, behold, a handful of flour, of your flour, ditru means your handful of flour, has come, v'dochi asora alfi kikri kaspa didi, and has cast aside the 10,000 kikar. Kikar is a measure, a certain measure of silver that I had promised the king because of the plan to have you Jews annihilated. So that Haman recognizes the power of the power of Torah. In the case they were learning about, they didn't actually do the handful. They were learning about the handful of flour, and that the power of learning about that, quote, we can say in broader terms, Torah learning, your little handful of flour had the power to cast aside my vast amount of silver that would have been gained by your annihilation. Omar Le, so Mordechai says, Rasha, Eved Shekona Nechosim, a slave that acquires property. Eved Lemi Unechosim Lemi, who owns the slave? Who owns the slave's properties? Now, this is a reference to what we saw in our previous shiur. If you recall, the drasha in which the Gemara says Prusbuli and Prusbuti, where Mordechai had come with the claim of the Prusbuli, the claim of the rich, meaning that he had actually years before purchased Haman. Haman had sold himself in exchange for some loaves of bread, sold himself into servitude toward Mordechai. So Mordechai here is saying, well, if someone owns a slave and the slave happens to have property, who's the ultimate owner of that? Omar Lay. So Haman says, Kum levush hani moni urechov hai susya deboi loch malka. Get up, put on these royal clothing, and ride on this sus. This is what the king desires. Omar Lay, so Mordechai's lo yachilna. I can't put on royal clothing and ride his horse. Ad ayalno lebe boni v'eshkol lemazie, until I go into a bathhouse, clean myself off, and cut my hair. The lavo rochara lishtamushi b'moni de malka hochi. It's not proper decorum to wear royal clothing as I am right now. Shadra Esther v'asartinu lekulu beboni ulekulu umani. Esther, working from her end of things, she ordered all the bathhouses to be locked up and all the barbershops to be closed. Aile ihu lebeboni. So, having no choice, he couldn't simply send Mordechai off to any old bathhouse. They were all closed. So Haman himself took him into a bathhouse, the Asche, and bathed him, the Ozil, the Icy Zuza, mi Beise, and he went and brought a pair of scissors from his house, because Shokil Be Mazie, and he did the haircut for Mordechai. Bahadi did cause Shokil Le, Ingid the Isnach, as he was taking the scissors, so he grunted and sighed. Omar Le, I might call Misnachis, why are you sighing? Omar Le, so Haman says, about himself, he says, "Gavra to have a choshev lei lamalka mikulu ravavanohi, a man who has had such importance." Again, he's speaking about himself. That I have risen to such importance, more so than all the ravanohi, more so than any of the other ministers. Hashto l'shavi baloni v'sapor. Now I'm being made into a bath attendant and a barber. Amalei Rasha. So Mordechai says, "You wicked man, falav sapor shel kvar kartsum hoisa. Weren't you in fact a barber of kvar kartsum? It's the name of a place. Tana Haman sapor shel kvar kartsum hoy esrim shtaim shana. Haman was actually a barber in this town for 22 years. So don't be so disgruntled. You in fact are a barber, not being made into a barber. It's nothing new for you. Basu de shaklinu lamazio, after he removed his hair, in other words, after he gave him the haircut, lavshinu lamone, he had Mordechai dressed in the royal clothing. Omar le sak urachav. So Haman says, "Get up and get up onto the horse." Omar le lo yochilno. I can't get up on the horse. The chisha chiloyam. I'm weak. Mi yamei tanisa, from all my days of fasting. Gochin v'solik. So Haman bent over and served as a step upon which Haman rose onto the horse. So Mordechai simply stepped on the back of Haman to get up on the horse. Ki Solik, as Mordechai was getting up, bought Behi, he gave Haman a little kick. So Haman says, "What are you kicking me for? Loksiv b'chu, doesn't it say in your works, b'nefoil oyuvecho al tismach, upon the downfall of your enemies, do not be joy struck?" Amalei, so Mordechai says, "Hani mili b'Yisrael, that is true with regard to a fellow Jew who you are at odds with. If two Jews are at odds with one another, and one of them has a downfall, so the other Jew should not be joy-struck. Avol b'ditchu, but when it comes to idol worshippers, k'siv, it says, v'ato al bomo semo tidroch, you shall trample down his high places." And figuratively, more accurately, actually, that is what's happening. He's trampling down upon Haman himself. V'yikrol lefanov, kochi yaseh le'ish asher ha'melech chofetz bikaro. This was part of the ceremony where Mordechai was paraded around, and an announcement was to be made that thusly the king does for he who the king wants to grant favor. As Mordechai was being paraded around, and here he got to the street of the shvil, the path or the street of Haman's house. Chazisei barte the kaimoa igra, his Haman's daughter had seen this as she was standing on a rooftop. So for now, there was an issue of distance, or maybe it was a tall building, or still there was some amount of distance. So Savra hai de rochiv avua, v'hai de maski kamei Mordechai. She thought, bear in mind, again, this is Haman's daughter, so she was accustomed to Haman having achieved great power and significance, so that the one who's riding on the horse, that must be her father, and the one who's walking in front of him, drawing the horse, is Mordechai. So what did she do? She wanted to add insult to injury. Shokla hatzitza de besa kise. She took a clay vessel that's used like maybe many of us are familiar with a child's training potty. Well, they had something like that was made of earthenware that held urine. V'shadise aresha davu, and she threw it down on what she thought was Mordechai, but it turned out to be her father's head. So she cast this thing, this atzitza besa kise, on her father's head. Doli eine, he looked up. V'chazis davu. She saw that it was her father. Noflo mi igro la'aro umesa. She apparently out of shock, or she committed suicide. She jumped off she fell off the roof and died. V'hainu dichtiv. It is based on this. The pasuk says v'yoshav Mordechai el shar hamelech. Omar Rav Sheshes sheshav l'sako u'letaniso. Mordechai, after this parade, he went back to what he was doing. He went to his sackcloth and his fasting. V'Haman nidchaf el beso avel v'chofui rosh, and Haman went back to his house in mourning and with a covered head. Avel al bito, he was now in mourning over his daughter. V'chofui rosh, and his head being covered al she'ira lo, regarding that which happened to him, as we just described. Vayesaper Haman Lezeresh Ishtoi Ulechol Oyhavov. And on the side, we've included the continuation of the pasuk. It says Haman here is telling his wife and his friends Oavov Eskol Asher Korou, everything that happened. Vayomru Lo Chachomov, and his advisors, there's a word change. Instead of Oavov, here you see the word Chachomov. So Vayomru Lo Chachomov Vezeresh Ishto, and they told him Im Mizera HaYehudim Mordechai. If this Mordechai is from the Jews, Asher Hachiloso Linpo Lefonov, Lo Suchalo, Kinafol Tipo Lefonov. If he's a Jew and you started falling in front of him, you are not going to, you are going to fall and you will not be successful against him. The Gemara points out, Kori Luhu Ohavov. The pasuk refers to the people assembled there where Haman went as being his friends, V'Kori Luhu Chachomov. And he's referred to, those same people are referred to as Chachomov. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Oimer Dvar Chochma, Afilu Be'umo Sa'olam, Nikro Chochom. Anyone who says a point of wisdom, even if he's amongst the nations of the world. In other words, it's not accurate to say that the Jews have an exclusive monopoly on wisdom. Even members of other nations of the world also have that. And any one of them that says something of worthiness, of wisdom, is called a chacham. Hence his friends that joined with Zeresh, that said what they did, if they made an appropriate and accurate remark. So they're called Chachomov. Im Mizera Yudim Mordechai v'chulei, Omru le Im Ishar Shvotim Koasi Yachlisle. If this Mordechai is from one of the other tribes of Israel, so then you have a chance against him. The Im Ishevet Yehuda Ubinyomin Vefraim Umenashe Lo Yachlisle. If, however, he is from the tribe of any of these four tribes, Yehuda Binyomin Ephraim Umenashe, you will not be successful. Yehuda Tadichtiv, regarding Yehuda and Yehuda's power over the enemies, it says Yodacha Ba'oyref Oyevecha. Enoch, Ephraim, Binyamin, Menashe, Dechtibuhu, it says, Lifnei Ephraim, Binyamin, Menashe, Uro, Es, Gvurosecha. And in front of these tribes, your strength is aroused. The Pasuk says in Megillas Esther, Perek Vav, Pasuk Yudgimel, Ki Nafol, Tipoil, Lifanov. Dorash Rabbi Yehuda Bar Veloi, Shtei Nefilas Halodu Lama. Why the double expression of Nafol, of falling? Omru Lo. The Haman's friends told him, "Umazu, this nation, Meshula laOfar, Meshula laKechavim, is compared to the offer to the dirt. It's compared to stars. Keshein Yordan, Yordan ad Ofar. When they descend, they descend down into the depths, down to the dirt. Keshein Oilin, when they rise, Oilin ad laKechavim." They rise to the star. So the double expression is a reference to the two aspects of the Jewish people. The pasuk continues to say, "Lahavi eshoman el hamishte asher osta Esther." And the king's ministers came and hastened Haman to come to the party that Esther prepared. Malamed sheheviuhu beveholah. It shows us that they brought him immediately, and he didn't have a chance even to wash himself from the filth that he had experienced. Don't forget, with regard to the story just before, he was parading around Mordechai, and his daughter had cast the waste on his face, on his head, and he was still dirty, it seems, from that. And he was brought like that to the king's ball, to Esther's ball. And in the course of the meeting between Esther and Achashverosh and Haman, she says, she reveals to him her plight, what she is upset about, and says, Ki nimkarnu ani ve'ami, I and my nation have been sold, ki ein b'atzar shova b'nezah hamelech. This pasuk will be explained now by the Gemara, Omra lo. Tsar Ze, this oppressor, Haman, eino shoveh benezek hamelech. He's not worth the damage that he causes the king. Look at what this guy has done. Ikni ba bevashti v'kotla. He caused wrath to be cast upon Vashti, and she was killed. Hashto ikni b'didi. Now he's arousing wrath against me. Umivi lekakli, and wants to kill me too. Vayomer Hamelech Achashverosh, Vayomer LeEsther Hamalka. Now this pasuk has a seeming extra word in it. It says the king said, was addressing Esther. So wouldn't it have been enough for it to simply say Vayomer Hamelech Achashverosh LeEsther Hamalka? Why the extra expression? If you look at the markings, in addition to the double underline, you notice a dashed underlining. The second Vayomer, what is it necessary for? Vayomer Vayomer Lomoli. Why the double Vayomer? Omer Rabbi Avo Betchilo Ayadei Torgam. Originally, Achashverosh was talking to Esther, but through an intermediary, through a translator. Kevon de Omrole Bas Melochim Ano Midabe Shol Kwasina. Once she, at this point, she was revealing herself, and she said, "I am a descendant from the royal household of Shol. I am a princess," thereby elevating her significance in his eyes, in Achashverosh's eyes. So, Miad Vayomer LeEsther Hamalka, then he addressed her directly. See, up till that point, he wasn't aware of who she was, and it wasn't dignified for the king to speak to a commoner directly. But with her revelation, he then addressed her directly. Vatomer Esther Ish Tsar V'Oyev Homon Horo Hazeh. Homer Rebbe Lozer, Melame, this teaches us. Shoisa Mechave Klapi Achashverosh, when she was saying this wicked oppressor, she actually was intending to point to Achashverosh. Ubo Malach V'Sotar Yoda Klapi Homon, and an angel came and pushed her hand over to Homon. The Rashi says, "Malami chose machve keneged Achashverosh me ribui," and the Bach adds here, "me ribui davar ze ataloy made shoyala lomar homon hora haze elo shoyso roitzelomar ala Achashverosh ish tsar ve oyev vi al homon hora hazeh. So you have a lot of words in this pasuk, and when she says ish tsar v'oyev, at that point she was intending to point to Achashverosh, and then Haman is hora hazeh. But that obviously everyone knows that didn't actually come to be, and that's a function of an angel intervening and pushing her hand to point directly to Haman. V'hamelech kom b'chamosoi v'chulei v'hamelech shov migina sabison. What we want to see in this pasuk is the following: Makish shiva l'kima. We compare. After he rose in wrath upon hearing the what Esther had revealed, that here his high minister Haman was planning to kill the Jewish people, including Esther. So the king was very irate about this. He rose and went to the garden, and he came back. So now the Gemara points out Makish Shiva Lekima. There is a comparison here between his return to his initial getting up to depart, to go to the garden. Ma kima b'chema, just like when he got up, he was wrathful. He got up in rage. Af shiva b'chema, so too when he got back, he was enraged. Now, you see, you would expect the person who gets up in rage, he would cool off. And when he comes back, he would be cooled off. But that's not what it was. What happened? The ozal v'ashkach l'malachi ashores de'idmu le kegavri v'ko akri le'ilni de'bustani. When he went to the garden, there were some angels that appeared to him as men that were uprooting trees from his garden. The Omar Luhu Mayuvdaichu, and the king asks what appeared to him as men, what are you doing? Omru Lei, so they told him the Pakdin and Haman. Well, Haman instructed us to uproot these trees. Also Lebeise, he comes back to the house, and what does he see? For Haman no fail al Hamita. So grammatically, the Gemara asks, "No fail, no fail mi boyale." He fell. What's the no fail? Is a present tense. If you come in and you see someone on the bed, you would say he fell in the past tense. Omar Rebbe Lozer, Malamed Shabo Malach v'hipilu aleha. What this reveals to us, what this tells us, is that a king, an angel, had come in and had cast Haman right now onto her, onto Esther, so that you have Achashverosh walking in and seeing Haman lying on Esther. Omar vay mi beisa vay mi bora vayomer hamelech hagam lichboish es hamalko imi babayas. So Achashverosh says, "Woe unto me from within my house. Woe unto me from outside." We saw outside his royal garden was being uprooted by the supposed order of Haman, and he walks inside and sees Haman on Esther. So he says, "Have you come to capture the queen while I am in this house?" Vayomer Harvona. At this point, Harvona, he was one of the, he was a an advisor, and he says, you know, he says to the king, he says, you see, there's a tree in the pasuk test. It says that there's a tree that Haman made to hang Mordechai. That there's a tree that's ready over there, suggesting that if you want to punish this man, this fellow Haman, there's a tree that's available. Omar Rebbe Lozer, Af Harvona Rosha Ba'oisa Eit Sahoya. Harvona was actually a wicked man that was in the original scheme to get rid of the Jews. Kevon Shirosh Lo Niskaimo Atsaso, Miyad Borach, when he saw that things were going against Haman, the chief planner, that things were going against it, so he immediately ran away. Vahainu Dichtiv, Vayishlach Olov, Velo Yachmoyul, Miyado Baroach Yivrach. The Rashi here explains, "Vayishlach alav Hakadosh Baruch Hu mashlich Pu'anus al harosha b'li chemla. Miad baruch baruch yivrach b'nei siyato v'chaverov boruchem miyado. When the Almighty casts his wrath upon the wicked, so those that are around him immediately run away. V'chamas hamelech shachacha. The word shachacha means assuaged or quieted, but it's written with a double chof in the word. Shtei shchichos halalu lama. There were two quietings that are referred to here. What are they a reference to? Achas shel malchus shel olam v'achas shel achashverosh. According to the first opinion, the two quietings. One was a reference to the Almighty was now quieted, so to speak, seeing that the wicked one got his due retribution, and the other a reference to Achashverosh. The Amri law, another version, Achas shel Esther, the Achas shel Vashti. That this wicked man who had aroused the wrath against Vashti and also attempted to be aroused against Esther, he was now rid of, and therefore that caused Achashverosh to be relaxed regarding these two, what had happened with regard to these two women. L'chulam nosan li'ish chalifois. Now here we have to note, first of all, we have a topic heading, and we call this Mifgash Yosef ve'echov Mitzrayim Achrei Shizgal Aleihem. This section of the Gemara will be discussing the meeting of Yosef and his brothers after he revealed himself to them. And we have also a long marking running down the side of the Gemara, so you can see that this section goes down halfway down Amud Beis. So the Pasuk says that upon his revelation, Yosef's revealing to himself to his brothers, it says, L'kulam nosan le'ish chalifos smolois u'levinyomin nosan chomesh chalifos. Each one of the brothers received a new suit of clothing, and his brother Binyamin received five. Gemara asks, this is odd to us. Efshur dovar shinitzdar boy oisei tzaddik. Could it be that through that very matter that Yosef experienced his pain, yikoshel, we continue at the top of Amud Beis, yikoshel bo, that he should stumble in that very matter? And that's the question that's raised. And after the bracketed section, we have an answer. So therefore we have a note on the side, so Graham Lishem Dilu Kedei Lahatsmid Hatshuva Lasheila, to attach the answer to the question, as we just demonstrated. The Sochamuva Divrei Reka. Within the brackets we have background information. So we raise the question, how could it be that Yosef is giving Binyamin, his brother, five suits of clothing when it seems that he gave each one of his brothers only one suit? So it was, in simple language, he was playing favorites. And it was in that matter, by having himself being a favoritism demonstrated toward him, that his whole suffering ensued. Di Omar Rova bar Machasya, Omar Rav Chama bar Gurya, Omar Rav, Bishvil Mishkal Shnei Sloyim Milas. Because of the Milas is a type of material, some will translate it as silk, because of two Sloyim. Sloyim is a measure of weight, a weight measure of Milas. Shehosef Yankiv Liyosef Mishar Echov. Yankiv Avinu had prepared a special garment for Yosef that he had not given to his other brothers, and because of that, Nisgalgil Hadover v'yordu avoseinu l'mitzrayim, the brothers had seen the favoritism shown toward Yosef that aroused their concern, their jealousy, if you will, and as a result of all of that, Yosef was sold to Mitzrayim, and the entire bondage in Mitzrayim followed from that. If you like a pun, followed suit. Well, how could it be then? Omar Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefes, Remez Romaz Lo, a hint. He was showing a hint. That means that Yosef was hinting something to Binyamin. She'osid ben lotzeis mimenu, she'yetze l'mefne ha'melech b'chamisho levushei Malchus, that there will be a descendant coming forth from Binyamin that wore five types of royal garments. Shenemar, Mordechai Yotza. Now Mordechai was a descendant from Binyamin, and Mordechai Yotza Belavush Malchus Tcheles Vechule, and it goes on to in that pasuk to enumerate five different types of fabrics that he was wearing. So the five articles or suits that Binyamin was granted was an attempt to convey this particular hint. Now there's more on this topic about how still does this avoid the question of the jealousy that could have arisen. So the Marsha deals with that topic. Vayipol al Savare Binyamin Ochiv. The word Savare is in the plural, and when Yosef embraced Binyamin, so it says, and he Yosef fell on Binyamin's necks in the plural. Kamot Savarim Havu Leilu Binyamin. How many necks did Binyamin have? Omer of Elazar, Bocha al Shnei Migdashim Sha'asidin Lios Bechelko Shebinyamin Ve'asidim Lichorev. What the pasuk is describing is that Yosef cried over the two Botei Mikdash, the first temple and the second temple, that were built in the section of Israel that was granted to the tribe of Binyamin. They would be built there and they would ultimately be destroyed. So the word Savore in the plural is a reference to the two Beis HaMikdash. Ubinyamin Bochat Savarov, that's the continuation of the pasuk from Bracious Perik Mem Hei, and Binyamin cried on his neck, on Yosef's neck. What is that a reference to? Bocha al Mishkan Shilo, She'asi Lios Bechelkel She'Yosef Asi Lichorev. He was crying over the Mishkan that was built in Shilo, which was located in the part of Israel granted to the tribe of Yosef, that it too was going to experience destruction. V'hine Einechem Ro'os V'hine Achi Binyamin. Omar Rebbe Lozer, Omar Lohem. So Yosef said to his brothers, "Kishem she'ein b'libi al Binyamin achi shelohoya b'mechirasai." Just like, and see, in this pasuk, maybe we should point out there's a reference to the brothers and a separate reference to Binyamin. So Yosef is telling his brothers, just like I have nothing on against my brother Binyamin shelohoya b'mechirasai, he had nothing to do with my sale to the eventually to Egypt. Kach ein b'libi aleichem. So too, I have nothing against you. I'm not holding a grudge against your having sold me into slavery. Kipi hamedaber aleichem. Kefi kein libi. The pasuk is saying that as my mouth, so too is my heart. In other words, I'm not. What in Hebrew we say echad b'lev, echad b'peh, ve'echad b'lev. I'm not a double talker. But what I'm saying is what I feel, and I feel no grudge against you, just like I obviously feel no grudge against Binyamin. Uva'aviv shalach kezos asara hamorim nosim mituv mitzrayim, and it says in that passage that Yosef also sent to his father, to Yankiv Avinu, who was still in Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Canaan, he sent 10 donkey loads of the best of Mitzrayim, my mituv Mitzrayim. Now here we have a marking which highlights this name of Binyamin Bar Yefes. We actually will see a number of memros of his in this particular sugya, where he quotes Binyamin Bar Yefes quotes Rebbe Lozer. So, what does Mituv Mitzrayim mean? Omar Sholach Lo. Omar Rabbi Miyam Bar Yefes, Omar Rabbi Lozer, Sholach Lo Yayin Yoshan. He sent to his father aged wine. Shidas Zekenim Noichei Menu. Old people enjoy that, receive a sense of good feeling from that. Now on the side, we should point out we have Roman numerals 1 and 2. These are Shnei Lishonos Alma Nemar. There's a phrase that we will see in the Gemara. Tale Beidne Sogidle. A fox in its time bow down to it. So that phrase appears in the Gemara, and there are two Lishonos as to what that is referring to. So the Pasuk says, Vayelchu Gam Echov Vayiplu Lefonov. it says, and their brothers went and bowed in front of him. Omar Rabbi Binyamin bar Yavas Omar Rabbi Lozer, Hainu Damrinshi, it is this that people say, Tale biidne sogidle, a fox, if you see that he is being successful, fox is generally portrayed as a lowly type creature, but when it has its time, when it seems to be on high, bow down to it. So the Gemara asks, in this context of the brothers bowing down to Yosef, Tala, my bitsirusei me achvo, why is he, Yosef, being portrayed as a fox, meaning someone who is lower than they are, but now he's experiencing his heights? What makes you think that he would be portrayed as a fox? What's my bitsirusei? What's his lacking more so than these other brothers? So it's inappropriate to describe their bowing to him as he being the otherwise lowly one that's having his time, because relative to his brothers, you wouldn't call him lower. But rather, if you're going to apply this phrase of Tal Bidnei Sogidle to something, say it on the following. Vayishtachu Yisrael Rosh Amita. Yisrael is Yankov Avinu. He bowed to Yosef. Omar Ben Yomar Bar Yefes, Omar Rebbe Lozer, Tal Bidnei Sogidle. So we, of course, relative to Yankov Avinu, Yosef is a lesser type individual, but yet we find Yankov Avinu, his father, was bowing to his son. So that's an example of the lower one, Yosef, who has risen to become viceroy of Egypt. So when he has his time, Idne, his time, bow to him, even if you are greater. Vayinachem oisom vayadaber alibom. And he consoled them and spoke to their hearts. Omar Rabbi Yomin bar Yefes, Omar Rabbi Lozer, Malamed Sheomar Lohem Dvorim Shemiskablim Al Halev. This teaches us that Yosef said some convincing remarks. Uma Asora Neros Lo Yochlu Lechabos Ner Echad. Look, your 10 brothers, 10 candles, weren't able to extinguish one candle. You attempted to be rid of me, and you were unsuccessful. So 10 could not get rid of one. Ner Echad Heich Yochlu Lichbos Asora Neros. If you fellows are worried, well then how can one extinguish 10? If 10 can't extinguish one, then one certainly can't extinguish 10. So you have nothing to worry about. And now you can see by way of our markings, we're returning to our focus on Psukim from Megillas Esther. In Perek Ches, Posuk Tezayin, it says, Ayudim hoisa oiro v'simcha v'soson v'kor. Omar Rav Yehuda. And he breaks down the Posuk into its component words. Oro zu Torah. Oro is a reference to Torah. V'chein hu omer kiner mitzvah v'torah or. So they were now able to return to their Torah study. Simcha ze yom tov. V'chein hu omer v'samachta b'chagecha. That's a reference to holidays. Soson zu milah. V'chein hu omer. Soson is a reference to milah, and it says likewise. Sos onochi al imrosecha. And the word imrosecha is a reference to that which imrosecha, that you told me. The mitzvah of bris milah was given through the word amira and not the word dibur. This is something that Rashi points out. The pasuk says vayomer Hashem el Avraham ve'ato es brisi tishmor. So you have the word vayomer in the context of the bris milah. And Sos Anochi Amrasecha, David HaMelech is saying, I am happy over that which you taught me. And the Rashi records the Gemara that says that when he was in a bathhouse and he was naked, having the feeling that maybe he has no mitzvos, he recognized that he had, you know, as in a bathhouse, one doesn't study Torah, one doesn't perform other mitzvos. So he felt truly naked in a spiritual sense as well. And then he remembered that he was circumcised, and that gave him joy. The pasuk says also vikor, elu tefillin. The word vikor is associated with honor, with kavod, and that is tefillin. V'cheinu omer, and it says uru kol ame horetz ki shem Hashem nikra olecha v'yuru mimcha. V'tanya, and it's explained regarding that pasuk. Rav Elazar HaGadol Omer Elu Tefillin Shebarosh. The pasuk said, all the nations of the world will notice that the name of the Almighty is called upon you, and they will have fear of you. And Rav Elazar HaGadol says that's a reference to the Tefillin Shebarosh, the tefillin that one wears on his head. And the Marsha adds, in fact, in the time of Mordechai, this was fulfilled. And we have on the side of the Gemara the several psukim that indicate this. Psukim from Perek Ches Posuk Yud Zayin, Perek Tes Posuk Beis, Perek Tes Posuk Gimel. And you can see on the side of the Gemara that says, we've written in V'rabim Me'amoretz Misyadim Ki Nofal Pachar Ayudim Aleim. Many of the Gentiles converted, wanted to convert to Judaism because they were fear-struck of the Jews. At that point, toward the end of the Megillah, as you know, that the Jews had received a royal permission to take vengeance from their enemies. And it also says in Perek Tes Posuk Beis, V'ish lo omad lifnem ki nofal pachdom al kol ha'amim. The fear of the Jews had fallen upon all the nations. And in Pasuk Gimel it says, ki nofal pachad Mordechai aleim. The fear of Mordechai fell upon them. So this pasuk came to fulfillment there, then and there, at the time of the Purim story. Hence the word vikar, referring to the tefillin as the source of honor to the Jewish people, was very appropriate. Perek Tes Pasuk Zayin features the names of Haman's children, and then you at the end of the list of names, you reach Pasuk Yud, and it says Aseres Bnei Haman. So you'll if you look in the Megillah Esther, you see a list of names, and then the Pasuk says Aseres Bnei Haman. So Omrar Rabbi Rav Ado Demin Yafo. Aseres Bnei Haman. The Aseres means the 10 names of Haman's children, and the word V'Aseres, Tzorech L'mimrinu B'Neshima Achas. So when you are reading the Megillah, you have to take in a good amount of wind before you start reading this list of 10 names. The names are actually they're multi-syllabic names, so you have to read them, all of the names, and the word Aseres, which appears right after the list, in one breath. My time. What's the significance of this? Kulu Bahadi Hadodi Nafku Nishmasai. They all expired at the same time. Omar Rebbe Yochanan Vov de Vayezosa. One of his son's names was Vayezosa. The letter Vov of that name, Tzorech Lemintecha Bezikifa Kimurdia de Lavrus. When you're writing a Megillah, as Megillah Esther scroll, as a scribe, you have to know that letter Vav is large, it's elongated, like reminiscent of a mast or of a pole that's used. Murdia de Lavrus is a pole, a long pole that's used in guiding boats. My Taima, what's the significance of this? Answer, Kulu Bechad Zekifa as the kifu. They were all hung along the one tree. So it was a tall tree, and that's what this vav, this elongated vav, represents. They were all hung on one tree, and one hanging, one underneath the other. Amar Rav Chanina Bar Papa, Dorash Rav Shilo Ish Kfar Tamrasa. Rav Papa tells us that Rav Shilo from Kfar Tamrasa tells us, Kol Hashirois Kulon Nichtovois Oriach Algabi Levena, Uleveno Algabi Oriach. Shiros is a translated, it means songs, but it's a reference in this case to a type of writing of scribes in the Holy Scriptures. So there are a number of different shiros of songs that appear in the Scriptures, and if you open up a traditional scroll, either a Torah scroll or a work of the prophets, you will notice when it comes to these sections that we call a shira, that the words are written with gaps between them. In other words, as opposed to standard scriptural writings, you write word after word with a very small gap simply to separate, like a letter amount of blank is a blank spot between each word, as you would As you look at any text, one word follows the next. When it comes to a shira, you generally write a word with a gap of white, of parchment, of several letters in length, and then you continue writing the next word, and then leaving a long gap. And it's written in such a way, line after line, with, if you can imagine, the way a brick wall is built, whereby you would have two bricks on the, we'll say, the lowest level, and between the two bricks you position the next brick above them, you know, lying upon them, between them. And that's what this expression means, Ariach Agabi Leveno. Ariach is a brick, it's the half length of a normal brick. So that a brick, a Leveno, is twice the size of an Ariach. So that when you have a regular Shira, your standard Shira form of writing, those passages in the Torah that are called Shira, the writing would account for the Ariach and the blank space twice the amount of the writing. So that if you have a three-letter word, three letters in length, you would have a blank spot of six letters. And that would be one row. And the next row would be positioned, in the opposite fashion, where you would have, where on the lower row there was, let us say, blank. So positioned above that would be writing. And where there was writing, there will be now blank. That's what this means. Ariach Agabi Leveno, and Leveno Agabi Ariach. So that in such a way, you would be forming what would appear to be we call it a solid wall. Chutz Mishira Zu Umalchei Knan, with the exception of this Shira. And again, here you see that the word Shira to mean song is a little difficult to translate as such, but rather, as we said before, it's a form of writing. In this case, we're referring to the names of Haman, where you have a name, and then there's a big gap, and at the end of the line, in the formal writing, you have the word V'es. So you'll have a name, and then V'es. In the next line, a name, and then V'es. But in this case, you have the writing forming a column of writing, one above the other, and then along, and then the gap, one solid column of gap, and then at the end of the line, the word V'es. And underneath that, again, the word V'es. So if you were to build, let us say, a wall in this fashion, when as we said, the word Ariach represents a word, and you pile another word, another brick upon a brick, rung one above the other, such a wall is not of sound construction. It's not firm. So that this passage of the sons of Haman, Umalchei Knan, and the list of the kings of Knan that is found in the Tanakh, Ariach Agabi Ariach, Leveno Agabi Leveno, where you have the Ariach is writing upon writing, and the Leveno, the blank spot, is the line above it is also blank, and the line above that is also blank. These passages, the sons of Haman and the Malchi Knan, who were defeated by the Jews, they are written in that fashion. My taimo, why in that way? Shelo tehe tekumo lemapolosan. It would represent that there should be no rising for their falling, being that it's a wall that's constructed in a flimsy fashion. Once it falls, it won't be reconstructed. Vayomer hamelech leEsther hamalka b'Shushan habira horgu haYehudim. The king said to Esther that in Shushan that the Jews had killed their enemies. Omar Rabbi Yavo Malamed. This shows us Shebo Malach the Sotroi al Piv. Now here we need to look at the Rashi. Rashi says Malamed Shebo Malach Sharei Hischil Ledaber Beloshen Kas. Ahasuerus started telling Esther that he, in a tone of wrathfulness, of anger, "Oh, look at the Jews! They're killing our people." And then he switched into a kindly speech. And this sudden change was a function of the intervention of the angel who came and hit him over his mouth. So he started saying, Well, look at this, that the Jews killed our citizenry. And then he goes on to say, Ma she'elosechem, what do you want? In other words, what is your request in a kindly tone? The Pasuk Chof Hei of Perek Tes, Uvevo'o lifnei ha-melech Omar im ha-sefer. The Gemara asks, Omar Omro mi boyale. It says, and when she came to the king, after all, the focus of the Pasuk is on Esther, so grammatically it should have said Omro im ha-sefer. And we look at the Rashi on the upper part, the third line from the top, im ha-sefer, Shitei Megillah Ksuva Lifneim Bishas Kriya. Now this is what we're going to learn from this. But without the explanation, grammatically it should have been that when she came into the king, she, Omra is in the feminine form, she said, so Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Yomar Befeh Ma Shekosuv B'Sefer. What we learn from this is that we are instructed to read from a scroll, Yomar Bepe, and as we should read orally, that which is written in a text. There's another Rashi that we should take note of. Rashi occupies both columns, so we're looking at Rashi at the bottom of the right-hand column. Rav Nachman Omar of Hochi Garcin, Omar of Nachman, Yomar Bepe, Mashe Nichta Besforim, Velo Garcin and Omar Lo, Vahochi Pirusha, Seder Mikros Kahu. The order of the Psukim, if you open up a Megillas Esther, you will notice it says there, Vikipa Yehudim Esasher, Hechilu Lasos, the Jews accepted upon themselves that which they started to do in celebration of their victory, Ki Homan Ben Hamdoso Hagogi Vhule, Ubevoa Lufnei Hamelech, Omari Masefer, Umordechai kosav aleim shiasu purim ki homan bikesh labdon umas shebos Esther lefnei hamelch ischanin lo kol ze yomar shana b'shana. This is teaching us that all of the events that took place in the Purim story should be read from a scroll. Divrei shalom v'emes Omar Rabbi Tanchun v'Omri lo Omar Rabbi Asi. Some say Rav Asi said, "Melamed shetzricha sirtut ke'amisa shel Torah." The pasuk that says "Divrei Shalom ve'emes," the word "ve'emes" is taken to mean underlining, or technically speaking, overlining the way a sefer Torah, the way a Torah scroll is written. In the writing of a Torah scroll, there are straight lines that are etched out on the parchment, and that straight line is called the sirtut. And that represents the top of each letter as the scribe is writing it, so that the Megillah Esther scroll is to be written like a Sefer Torah. Umaymer Esther Kiam, Maymer Esther in Divrei Hatzamos Lo. The initial understanding of this pasuk is that the salvation of the Jews came through Esther's intervention, that's how the miracle came about. Is that really so? It's just because she intervened and it's not a function of the Jews' fasting and supplication of the Almighty. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Hochi Ko'omar. The way to appreciate the Pasuk, and maybe even before we go any further, we look at the side where we have the Psukim recorded, Perek Tes Posuk Lamed Aleph, and then Posuk Lamed Beis. So on the side of the Gemara, we've written the Posuk, Kasher Kiyam Aleim Mordechai Hayudi VeEsther Amalko, VeKasher Kimu Al Nafshem VeAl Zarum Divrei Hatzoymois VeZakosom, UMaimer Esther Kiyam Divrei HaPurim HoElav VeNichtav BeSefer. So the Gemara is asking, when you read Posuk Lamed Beis, it seems that the miracle of Purim came about through Esther's intervention. What about all the fasting? So Rabbi Yochanan answers, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, we go back into the Gemara, Hochi Ko'omar. Divrei Hatzomos V'Zakosam U'Maymer Mo'oster Kiyam. Meaning, you have to read the end of Pasuk Lamed Aleph together with the beginning of Pasuk Lamed Beis, and that's what caused the establishment or the fulfillment of the miracle of Purim. Both their fasting and their praying and Esther's intervention. That's let's read that again. Divrei Atzomos, Umaymer Esther Kiam Divrei Hapurim Ho'ele. Posuk Gimel of Perek Yud says, Ki Mordechai Yehudi Mishne Lemelech Achashverosh V'Gadol LaYehudim V'Rotzui L'Roiv Echov. Mordechai became the second, the called the viceroy to the king Achashverosh, and he was a leader of the Jews, and he was favored by the majority, the Rov Echov. That means the majority. And the Gemara points out, when you say majority, that indicates there's also a minority. The Rov Echov, v'lo l'kol Echov. To the majority of his compatriots or his colleagues, but not to all of them. Malame, this teaches us, Shepirshu Mimenu Miktsas Sanhedrin, that part of the Sanhedrin, after all, we have noted in the past that Mordechai was a member of the high court of the Sanhedrin. Part of them, some of them, had departed from him, had separated themselves from him. Now, the reason for that is, now Rashi says very briefly, Shepirshu menu lefisha bitel midivrei Torah v'nichnas l'sroah, because he had decided to continue as a viceroy instead of returning to his preoccupation with Torah study. So he opted to maintain or to continue occupying this governmental position as opposed to returning to his original level of Torah study. And that's why some of them departed from him. Omar Rav Yosef. Now we have a new marking, a triangle, one of our series markings, on the side of the Gemara under the Nosei Mivne heading. You'll notice Gimel Meimros, three comments al Gadlus Talmud Torah, on the greatness of Torah study, and it is Yoser Mi, number one, Hatzolos Nefoshes, two, Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and three, Kibud Av Eim. We find the Torah study is portrayed as something that's greater than saving lives, it's greater than the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and it's greater than the mitzvah of honoring one's father and mother. Omar Rav Yosef, Godol Talmud Torah Yoser Mi Hatzolos Nefoshes. We find that Torah study is considered, if you have to weigh one mitzvah against another, the study of Torah is greater than saving lives. Now, let's make one thing very clear over here. If you, let us say, are in the middle of studying Torah, and you notice someone's life is threatened, and there's no one else around that's going to do anything about it, and you certainly have to stop your Torah learning and go save the person whose life is endangered. So we're not talking about that situation. But when all things being equal, if you have to weigh the value of two mitzvahs, study of Torah or saving lives, so we tell you that the study of Torah, when you weigh one against the other, the study of Torah, the Talmud of Torah, is greater than saving lives. And how do we know this? Demeikora choshev le Mordechai boser arba, ulevasov boser chamisha. In listing names. And we understand that when you list names, the list starts from the greatest and continues to the next lesser individual, and you go down the line. So we find the following phenomena, the following phenomenon in the following psukim. Initially, before Mordechai was involved with saving the Jews, as we see in the Purim story, it says, Asher bo'u im Zerubbabel, Yeshua, Nehemiah, Soraya, Ra'alio, Mordechai, Bilshan. So you see that he appears after four names. You see Mordechai, Ulevesov, Ksiv, and afterwards, after he ascended to his governmental position, Ksiv, Haboim, Im, Zerubbabel, Yeshua, Nehemiah, Azaria, Ramyo, Nechmeni, Mordechai, Bilshan. You find him listed after five names. So he had dropped in rank. Omar Rav Vitamer of Shmuel Bar Marta, Godol Talmud Torah Yoser Mi Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Greater is Torah study than the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Shekolzman Sheboruch Ben Neria Kayim, that as long as this individual, Boruch Ben Neria, we've seen his name earlier, he actually was a prophet, as long as he was alive, Lo Hinicho Ezra V'Ola, Ezra, who was originated in Bavel, he did not depart from him to return to go to the land of Israel. He, Ezra, was studying, was a student of Baruch ben Neriah. So that even though the building of the Beis HaMikdash was set into progress, Ezra did not involve himself with that. He remained with Baruch ben Neriah, indicating that greater is Torah study than the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Omar Rabba, Omar Rabbi Yitzchok, Bar Shmuel, Bar Marta, Godol Talmud Torah, Yosher Mikibud Av Aim. We will demonstrate or prove how Torah study is considered greater than the mitzvah of honoring one's mother, one's father and mother. Shekol Oysen Shonim, Shoy Yankiv Avinu, Beveis Eiver. All of the years that Yankiv Avinu studied Torah in the yeshiva of Eiver, we sometimes refer to this as the yeshiva of Shem v'Eiver, Loi Ne'enash. He was not punished. He wasn't punished for that. Now, during those years that he was studying in the yeshiva of Eiver, so he was not in the presence of his parents, serving them and honoring them. The Omar Mar. And here the Gemara goes into the background and the calculation that will eventually lead us to this conclusion. We should point out that this section of Gemara is a long section, hence we have a long marking indicating that this will take us down a number of lines till close to the end of the basically till the end of the perek. And here, as we say, the Gemara gives us the background. We're at the top of Daf Yud Zayin. Lama Nimnu Shnoisav Shel Yishmael. Why does the Torah bother giving us the years, the chronology of Yishmael? After all, Yishmael was a wicked person. So, of what importance is it for us to note his years, as the Torah does? Answer: Kedei liyaches ben shnoisav shel Yankiv. It's really a means to calculating the years of Yankiv. Dichtiv v'ele shnei chaye Yishmael me'as shana u'shloishim shana v'sheva shanim. Yishmael lived to the age of 137 years. Kama koshish Yishmael miYitzchok? How much older was Yishmael than Yitzchok? Our Besar Shonan. He was 14 years older. Dechtiv Avram ben Shmoinim Shana Vishay Shonim, Beledis Hogar es Yishmael Avram. The Pasuk records that Avram was 86 when Hogar bore to him Yishmael. Uksiv Avram ben Me'as Shana Behivoled Loi es Yitzchok Beno. And Avram was 100 years old when Yitzchok was born unto him. So we see there's a 14-year gap between Yitzchok and Yishmael. And of course, one has to keep track of all the numbers as we go on in the Gemara. Uksiv v'Yitzchok ben Shishim Shana Beledes Oysam. Yitzchok himself was 60 when he bore Yankiv and Esav, his sons. Bar Kama Havi Yishmael Kidis Yalid Yankiv. So if Yitzchok was 60, how old was Yishmael when Yankiv was born? 14 years older. Bar Shivim V'Arba'ah. He was 74. Kamo Paishon Mishonei. How much is left to the life of Yishmael from age 74 till 137? How many years are left? Shisin Utlas, 63 years. So from the birth of Yankiv till Yishmael's death, that would make then Yankiv at Yishmael's death age 63. The Tanya, Hoya Yankiv Avinu B'shosh Nisborech Me'oviv Ben Shishim V'Sholosh Shana Ubo B'Perek Meis Yishmael. When Yankiv received the bracha from Yitzchok, Yankiv was 63 years old, and it was at that time that Yishmael died. Yishmael died at that point in time. Dichtiv V'yar Esav Ki Borech V'chulei V'yelech Esav El Yishmael Vayikach es mochlas bas Yishmael achois nevoyos. The Pasuk says that Esav saw that his brother Yankiv had received the primary bracha. And Esau then went off and married, he went to Yishmael, basically his uncle, and he took Machlas, the daughter of Yishmael. The pasuk describes her not only as the daughter of Yishmael, but Achos Nevoyos. She was the sister of Nevoyos. Well, do I need the pasuk to reveal that to me? The mashma shenemar bas Yishmael. Once you tell me that Machlas was the daughter of Yishmael, ini yodea shehi achos Nevoyos. Wouldn't I know that she's the sister of Nevoyos? Once I know that Nevoyos was a child of Yishmael, so I realize that Machlas was Nevoyos' sister. So why does the pasuk have to spell that out? Malamed shekivsho Yishmael. What it tells us is that Yishmael, the father of Machlas, he enabled her, he gave her in the initial stage of marriage. We call that kiddushin. We give that, that was done by the father, by Yishmael, giving his daughter Machlas to Esav, umes. But right after that, he died, v'hesia nevoyos achia. And her brother, Nevoyos, gave her over to the home, gave her over to Esav to be as to consummate the marriage. That's nisuin. So what we've accomplished right now is we've reached the blessing of Yankov was when Yankov was 63 years old. Now at that point that he received the blessing, we also know that he aroused the hate of Esav, and at that point we also know that that Yankov had to flee. Shisin utlas. So we're continuing from this point that Yankov is 63. Our Besar ad demisyalid Yosef, plus another 14 years until Yosef was born. Ha shivin v'shiva. Now, where do you get the number 14? Because when Yankov fled because of Esav's wrath, so he then went to Lavan and he sought out. He worked for 7 years till he was able to marry Leah. So he married. He wanted to marry Rachel, of course, first. But there were 7 years, and then another 7 years for Rachel. And that would bring us. That's 63 plus 14. That gets us to Yankov Avinu being 77 years old. The Rashi, let's look together at Rashi on the upper part of the narrow lines. For Arba Esrei Shana, Hoya Yankov Beis Lavan Ad Yisyalid Yosef. He was 14 years in the house of Lavan until Yosef was born. Tichtiv Avaditich Arba Esrei Shana B'shtei B'nosayach When Yosef was born, that was the end of the years of his working for Lavan for in exchange for his daughters, namely Rachel and Leah. Shenemar vayikasher yolda Rachel is Yosef v'chulei. Umisham v'holo ovar oisel b'schar hatzon. And then he worked beyond that in exchange, not for daughters, he already had his two wives, but in exchange for the sheep that he would receive in payment for the additional work. Hare ben Ayin Zayin, or 77, Hoy Yankov Shinolad Yosef. That makes Yankov Avinu 77 with the birth of Yosef. Now, let's go back into the Gemara. So we've established Yankov's age as at 77 with the birth of Yosef. Uksiv, v'Yosef ben Shloishim Shona b'omdo lifnei paro. And we know that Yosef was 30 years old when he stood in front of Paro. So now, so if Yankov Avinu was 77 when Yosef was born, 77 plus 30, ha, me'av v'sheva. That makes Yankov 107 years at that point in time. Let's continue with the chronology of Yankov. Shev desiva v'tarti dekafna, ha, me'av v'shitzar. Once Yosef had risen to power, he rose at the point that there were the dreams, and the dreams indicated that there would be 7 years of famine, 7 years of plenty. That's called Shev, is seven, the Siva of plenty. And there would be another several years of famine, but we know that the famine didn't last the original 7 years, it lasted only 2 years. That's Tarti de Kafna. So we take these numbers, 7 and 2, that's 9, and we add that onto the 107 years of Yankov, because at that point, we should have pointed out, after 2 years of famine, Yosef had arranged, we'll say, would cause the descent of Yankiv to Mitzrayim. And at that point, when Yankiv arrived in Mitzrayim, so the famine ended. But as far as age is concerned, we see that Yankiv at this point is Ha Mea Veshitzar. He's now 116 years of age. Uksiv, the Pasuk says, Vayomer Paro Yankiv, Kamu Yomei Shnei Chayecha. When Yankiv meets Paro, at that point in time, Paro asks Yankiv, how old are you? Vayomer Yankiv, El Paro Yomei Shnei Megurai Shloshim Lashana. That I am 130 years old. What do you mean? Mea Veshitzar Havin. He's only 116. Where do you get 130? There's a discrepancy of 14 years. Eloshmamina, we see from here, Arba Esrei Shonin Dehava Beves Ever Lo Choshev Lehu. There's an additional 14 years that is not accounted for in the calculation that we did. Desanya, and you'll ask, well, why weren't the 14 years accounted for? So we go on in the Gemara and we'll discover that. But one thing has to be clear now, that when Yankiv said to Paro, I'm 130 years old, that's what he was. He was 130 years. The question is, what about those 14 extra years that weren't accounted for? So those 14 years were the years that he spent before actually reaching Aram Naharayim, reaching Lavan's house. He spent 14 years studying in the study center, the Torah center, if you will, of Aver. And that's not accounted for over here. Desanya, Hoya Yankiv, Beves Aver, Mutman, Arbis Reshona. Yankiv Avinu was hidden away in the yeshiva of Aver for 14 years. He was studying Torah there day and night. La'achar shiyorad Yankiv Avinu laram narayim shtei shonim meis Aver. After Yankiv arrived in Aram, 2 years after he arrived there, Aver died. Yotza misham uba lo laram narayim. Nimtza kishomar al be'er ben shivim v'sheva shana. So when he came to the well, he was 77. Let's point out that when we say that when he was by the well, but upon his arrival at Aram Naharayim, we say he was 77, this is different than what we said before. In other words, what we had thought before, that he was 77 at the birth of Yosef, not true. He was 77 14 years earlier than the birth of Yosef. That we thereby now account for the pushing forward of those 14 years, so that and now you have to recalculate the years starting with the age 77 upon his arrival at Aram, and then add to that the 14 years, which would make him 91 at the birth of Yosef, and then add 30 to that, making 121 at the when Yosef arose to viceroy, and then plus 9, making 130 when Yankiv went down to Mitzrayim and met Paro. Umin nolon delo mi anish, and from where do we know that he was not punished? We said that that for the 14 years that he was in the yeshiva Shem Be'Aver, so Yankiv Avinu was not punished. Now, we didn't point this out earlier, but we should have said, but it's never too late, that when we speak about Yankiv Avinu being punished, we're referring to the pain that he suffered through the absence of his son for so many years. He didn't know the whereabouts of his son Yosef. And so that was considered his punishment. However, that number of years does not entail the years that he was studying, that Yankiv was studying Torah. But the number of years that he was without his son are the number of years that he, Yankiv, had caused, the pain to his parents that he was not with them. So that even though Yankiv was in flight from Esav, but all those years he wasn't performing Kibud Av Va'Em. So now we go through this issue of the years. Uminolon delo mi'anish. From where do we know that Yankov was not punished for those years that he was studying Torah, the Sanya. Nimsa Yosef Shapiresh Me'oviv Esrim Ushtayim Shana. The result of the calculations is that Yosef was away from his father for 22 years. You might ask, how do you account for that? Well, very simply, he was 17. Yosef was 17 when he was sold, and he became viceroy at age 30. So from that accounts for 13 years of absence. But from age 30 till he eventually saw his father again, another 9 years passed. So you have 13 plus 9, that's 22 years. So Yosef had been away from his father for 22 years. Kishen Shapiresh Yankiv Ovinu Me'oviv. The same amount of time that Yankiv Ovinu was away from his father. The Gemara asks, what do you mean 22 years by Yankiv Ovinu? The Yankiv Talsin Vishiso Havyon. Yankiv Ovinu was 36 years. Now, how do you figure that? Well, you have 20 years in Lavan's house, then another 14 years in the yeshiva of Aver. Well, that's much more than 22. So Yankiv was 36. Elo Shma Mino, but we see from here, our Besar Dahava Bebes Aver Lo Choshev Lahu. The 14 years that he was studying in the yeshiva don't figure into this calculation at all. So that Yosef was absent from his father for 22 years, so that Yankiv experienced this punishment, if you will, in Keneged, corresponding to the 22 years that he was not, that he, Yankiv, was not by his parents. The Gemara asks, but still, we're still off in these calculations. Self, the base love on Esrin Shonin Havyon. He was in Lavan's house, Yankiv was in Lavan's house for 20 years. And if you say that, so then he was absent from his father only 34 years. Why did you say just the line before 36 years? Let's just go over this again. We mentioned that he was in the house of Lavan for 20 years, and he was in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever for 14 years. So he was away from his folks for 20 plus 14, that's 34 years. So why do you say the line just before you said he was absent from his parents for 36 years? Elo, Mishum Dishtoi Be'urcho Tartin Shonin. There was another 2 years that he was occupied with his journey. Desanyo, Yotza Me'ram Narayim. He left Aram Narayim to go back to Eretz Yisrael and go back to his parents. Ubaloi Lesukos, the Osir Shom Shmoina Osir Chodesh. He was 18 months, that's a year and a half, in this place called Sukos. Shenamar Vayakiv Nosa Sukos, Vayven Lo Bayis, Vayikneu Osir Sukos. Vabesel Osir Shisho Chadoshim, Vahikriv Zvochim. And another 6 months, he was in Basel. So that's another half a year. So that counts for 2 years on his journey back to Yitzchok. So, in addition to his 20 years being in Beis Lavan, another 2 years on the road, 22 years he was away from his father. Just to review, technically speaking, it was a total of 36 years, but the 14 years that he was learning Torah in the Yeshiva Aver, that's not held against him. And so it's for this reason that we said originally, Godol Talmud Torah Yosher Mikibud Avaim, that the fact that he was studying Torah is in fact a greater mitzvah than Kibud Avaim, so he didn't have to pay for that, so to speak, with the absence of Yosef, who was sold to Mitzrayim. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. You might want to contact us with regard to accessing marked Gemaras. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.